I want you some more to turn your Bible, please. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. If you're saved this morning and you know it, do not be deceived by my title of the message this morning. Salvation can be lost. Salvation can be lost. And I believe that you'll understand what I'm saying as we read, starting in chapter number 2, and I want to read 4 verses and deal with these this morning. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels would steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much that we can have in our hands this precious book. Lord, I thank you for what it's meant to me through all these years. And Lord, I thank you that every day as I read it, I can be amazed at your marvelous truth. And as you reveal yourself a little bit more and more every day. And Lord, I pray this morning for the power of the Spirit of God to move upon us. No doubt in this room this morning is somebody who needs Christ their Savior. No doubt this morning they might be deceived into thinking they have. But, oh God, I pray that you might open our hearts, open our minds, and, oh God, that you would become very real to everyone here. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. When you begin this chapter, you notice the word therefore. It connects us with the chapter preceding. We will not read it, but we do find that chapter really elevates the gospel to the Lord, who is shown to be better than the angels. By the way, one of the things I find amongst Christians is sometimes their infatuation with angels. They are heavenly beings that God created. But I think you ought to be more awed by God, by the Spirit of God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Father, than any angel there is. I believe this morning that the Word of God ought to be greater in your heart and mind than any angel. He is better than the angels. And so we find that the gospel offers to us something. And that gospel, that good news, that's what the word literally means. That gospel, we find, offers to us salvation from sin. When you hear the gospel, you are being told how to be saved from sin. All of us in this room have sinned. Matter of fact, the Old Testament law condemns every one of us and shows us we are sinners. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. The law of God brought us to the schoolmaster, because it shows to us the need that is in our lives. Interesting, in John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Notice the next few words, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why is he condemned? Because he has trespassed against the law of God. And so God tells us that the law will condemn us, but at the same time, God has a gift for us, and he wants all of us to accept that gift. In the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." Every one of us in this room are going to die. Now, we don't really stop and think it's going to be today or tomorrow. We think it's far off, but it matters not, because one day we will die. Why do we die? Well, I always thought it was because we got sick and the body began to wear out. Well, those things are true, but that is true because we have sinned against God. God didn't make us to be sick. God didn't make us to die. But the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. That's what we have earned. But notice this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what is it that you and I can have as a gift from God? What is it? It's salvation. It is a gift. It's something that we receive. It's something that you and I don't work for. It's something He already did the work for. If you are going to give a gift to somebody, you do the work, you hand it to them, they accept it. And likewise, Jesus did the work. What was the work? He died on the cross for you and for me. He paid that price that we might be able to be saved. Matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." He died for every one of us. But this salvation that's offered by God, listen to me, can be lost. Now, don't misunderstand what we're going to be talking about here. Be men of all ages who believe themselves well able to handle their own destiny. Those who believe that they can work their way to heaven, they are going to lose out on the gift that God has for us. The book of Psalm chapter 36 says, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful." Listen, what is he saying? He's saying that we as people often tend to believe that we can handle our own destiny and that we can make our own way through. But that simply is not true. And so what happens is the salvation that God is offering to us, it is lost to us if we will not believe it. If we will not accept the gift that God has given to us, then we lose out on that gift. And I think one of the reasons we lose out is we do not listen to His exhortation. We do not listen to what He has said. He says, therefore, we ought to give what? The more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We need to heed the things we have heard. What have we heard? We have heard the law of God. We've heard His precepts. Matter of fact, in verse number 128 of chapter 119, the book of Psalms says, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And so all the law of God, it is teaching us something, and that is that we are sinners. It's exhorting us to listen. And yet we find that so often that does not happen. We need to embrace these marvelous things and thank God that He has shown to us what we are that we might accept His gift. Very simple. And we ought to understand that. So secondly, I'd like for us to notice this salvation is lost not only because He exhorts us, but there are arguments that are given. There are strong motives to enforce this salvation. The great loss we shall sustain if we do not take earnest heed to the things which we heard, we shall let them slip. That's what it says there, lest at any time we should let them slip. They will leak, if we may please. They will run out of our heads, run out of our lips, run out of our lives, and we will be the great losers because we neglect what God has given for us to have. learn something. This proceeds from the corruption of our nature, the enmity and the subtlety of Satan. Listen, he steals the word right out from under you, if you please. And we find that he brings about entanglements and snares of this world. We find, as the parable speaks of, thorns that choke out the good seed. And so we find that there are things that are seeking to take away this marvelous word that can, what? Cause us to be saved. Those meet with an inconceivable loss who let gospel truths, which they have received, slip out of their minds. All is lost if the gospel be lost. If you hear it and will not receive it, will not believe it, listen, it will slip away. So often folks say, well, I will do that later. I went to the hospital one time many years ago, over to, matter of fact, it was UNMC, and I go up to the room of a man, and I had been asked to go see him. And as I walked in, I met this man that lay there dying. And I began to talk to him about the Lord. And he says, well, later, later. And I thought to myself, later, you're on your deathbed. By the way, he died the following day. But he kept thinking, later, later, and he let it slip out of his hands, that which was available to him. Many folks are inattentive as hearers, and they will soon become forgetful hearers. It will slip away. Another argument is taken from the dreadful punishment we shall incur if we do not do his duty. A more dreadful punishment than those fell under who neglected and disobeyed the law. Notice verse 2 and 3 once again. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If angels spoke about something, we wouldn't receive that. What makes us think we're going to get away with this if we neglect the salvation God has there, which was first began to be spoken by the Lord? If men trifle with the law of God, the law will not trifle with them. It's taken hold of sinners of former ages, and it will take hold of sinners in all ages. And the recompense is just. It is no more than what sin deserves in our lives. But we find the gospel is marvelously great. It's a great salvation that discovers a great Savior. Thank God for Jesus Christ, one who has manifested God to be reconciled to our nature, to bring us unto His very presence. He is the Savior. He's the one that could save us. How's He the Savior? He died for us. He was buried in a grave to prove that death. He was there 3 days and 3 nights. And He arose again. Praise God for that. By the way, the gospel is described in the book of 1 Corinthians is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you and I will not believe the gospel, we will allow it to slip from us, and we can lose the salvation that God is offering to us. He's our great Savior. But also, I would say this, He is our great sanctifier. In other words, He is the one that can make us holy, holy before God. We cannot make ourselves holy. Listen, we can clean up our lives, and we can change some things and begin to live right and properly, but we can never get rid of that which is in our past. But God wipes it away, and God makes us holy. Sin is declared, I believe, here to be the neglect of this great salvation. It is contempt put upon the saving grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is making light of it, not caring for it, not thinking it's worth their while to acquaint themselves with it. Oh, listen, do not allow it to slip from you. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we heard, lest at any time it says we should let them slip. The sermon was preached by Jonathan Edwards many, many years ago. And as he preached, he talked about a man who was hanging by a thread over the pit of hell. And as the flames went higher and those tongues of fire began to get closer to that thread, he was in a spot where he was forever going to be lost. But Jesus can reach down his hand and pull us into the safety net and make us whole once again. The misery of such sinners, we find, is described here. It's unavoidable. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? Where did it begin at? With Him. And was confirmed to us by them that heard Him. It's interesting to me as I look here. It tells us in the next verse, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. God's telling us here of the character and the being of those who first preached the gospel. It was by the Lord, and then we find it was by people like Peter and Paul. We find it was disciples as they went forth preaching the gospel. But God did something in their lives to make sure that folks understood it is from God. And what He gave them was the ability to perform some signs and miracles and so forth. And it was to substantiate the marvelous Word of God in the lives of these people. There were the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He was the one who qualified and enabled and excited them to the work that they were called to. But I want us to stop and think about this. This book is finished. It's completed. In the days of the apostles, they had not from here to here. They did not have the epistles. They did not have all that God wanted them to have. And so God took these men, and God showed to the world that He was working in them. And thus God took those same men, not all of them, but some, and He gave to them the Word of God. The Bible says that they were inspired. That's a greater word than we think of, I think, in our day. In other words, it came from God. Somebody said, you mean God was like the boss and these fellows were like secretaries? Yep. He gave it to them and they wrote it down word for word. In that day, they had these men with those miracles. Today, you and I, we have this miracle. And if we will not believe it, if we will not stand upon the authority of this completed Word of God and understand that if we will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, if we will not accept, if we neglect it, if we put it off, how shall we escape? How's it going to work? There is no escape for all who sin, and all of us are destined for eternity in hell. But thank God Jesus died for us. Here's the thing. Have you really accepted Christ, your Savior? I'm not talking about church attendance, membership. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you giving. I'm not talking about you being involved in some Christian ministry. The question is, have you accepted the gift of God, or have you neglected it? It's there for you to receive. Have you received it? See, preacher, I think I have. I don't know about you, but I'd want to know I have. You see, for 5 years, I thought I had. And thank God one day I knew I had it. I sat down with a very good friend of mine at that time. We've supported him as a missionary. He's now retired. Lives in Pensacola, Florida. He stops by once a year on a trip out to Washington. Burger King's his favorite place to go in all the world. He'll call up and ask me if I want a Whopper. And so we'll meet at Burger King and have a Whopper. But there was a day. He took me inside a little room of just he and I. And he began to tell me some of these sayings I've told you this morning. And he took out his Bible and he opened up to Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. And that verse says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He said, "Jade, do you know if you died, you go to heaven today?" I said, "I think so." He says, "But what does that say? What does it say? Whosoever shall call." "Have you called?" "Yeah." "Well, if you did your part, he did his part." I cannot lose my salvation. But there was a time where I almost lost it. Because I almost neglected it too long. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Let's pray. Father, today I pray you work in hearts. Lord, no doubt in this room is somebody with a need of some sort. Most likely there's one or two that need you as their Savior. They've never really accepted that gift. Oh, maybe they've been good. Maybe they've been people who were upstanding. But they've committed felonies against the Word of God. They have borne false witness, they have lied. They have not always honored their mother and their father. With their thoughts, according to your word in Matthew, they have killed. No doubt somewhere along the line they have stolen. And they're guilty. They need a Savior. Lord, I pray they not neglect that. Work on their hearts.